Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Sil.
And 11 days to the start of the regular season and the Leafs home opener. The preseason schedule continues. Not a bad record so far for the Leafs. Three wins and two losses, one in overtime and to the Senators. And they still have three games left to play. One versus the Habs tomorrow night. We're recording this on Sunday. And then another final two preseason games versus the Red Wings.
Yeah, so the preseason has been much better knowing that the voice of the Leafs, Joe Bowen, will be back calling the play alongside Jim Ralph doing game analysis for the Leafs on TSN and the Fan on Sportsnet. Yeah, I just can't believe that this was actually... You know, they just kept the poor guys waiting for so long. I can't believe this is actually a question going in. I guess the plan, or they were considering, like they do for Jays games, they tried to do this for Jays games, I think, which they actually went back to a radio team. But I think they were going to try to simulcast it.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard that they're going to try and do it. I think it's just to have like the TV guys on radio. I guess that sort of thing, which I thought was ridiculous in my opinion. I don't know. I mean, he's the voice of the Leafs, like we said, Joe Bowen, right? Like, and I guess it was important for him too that, like, because this will be his 42nd season, I guess, calling games for the Leafs. And that would be just one past the legendary Foster Hewitt, who called Leafs games.
It's a big milestone.
Yeah. He called Leaf games for 41 seasons. So, I mean, he's just the energy he brings. And obviously he's a bit of a homer, right? But we love that. We're Leaf fans, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we want to hear. We want to hear good things about our Leafs, positive stuff, right?
Your regional radio broadcast should be like that.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing wrong with that. So it's fine if the national network needs to be more unbiased, whatever. Yeah. But your regional radio broadcast should be a homer broadcast. It should be all about your hometown team. And they definitely bring it. They still have a ton of energy. And I'm glad that they came to their senses and decided to sign them on again for at least another year. So hopefully it'll be more than that, because
the only thing I don't like is the fact that they're still not going to, like, they're not going to travel with the team. Like, they're going to be calling games from a studio. Like, when.
Yeah. And that's not easy to do in some instances because of, you know, some of the jerseys make it difficult. But considering that, I mean, it's seamless. So you can't even tell that they really struggle with it. So, unless they say something, you know.
Or we actually just know in advance, which we do. Mm-hmm. But it's good to hear them either way that they're going to be, or good to hear that they're going to be back. So as Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph calling Leaf games this season. So another thing, quick thing that caught our attention were some comments from NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman, our favorite person. And something he said about the upcoming NHL All-Star Game, which is going to be coming to Toronto, we all know, next February. So he said that the NHL skills competition is going to be toned down out of respect to the Toronto fans. Now that really, I don't know, it bugged me a little bit. I just thought to myself, well, why would you tone it down in the best hockey market? Like, it just, I don't know. It didn't make, like, why not bring the excitement the way you do in other markets, whether it be, like, you don't have to be in Las Vegas or Florida, like with the palm trees and everything to make, like, you would think the league would want to make it just as good in the biggest hockey market as opposed to
the other
ones.
And why wouldn't you want to showcase, make it the ultimate all-star skills competition situation, like, instead of toning it down?
Yeah, and some ideas I heard too were getting involved with the something to do with at the Toronto sign. Mm-hmm. Something like that, like involving the Toronto sign with some of the skills competition and even the CN Tower, like getting those landmarks, I guess, like those things involved in somehow in creating something different, right? Something for the fans, because we know what the NHL All-Star Game is all about, right? It's all about the corporate sponsors and just
No, and truthfully, like, I think the corporate sponsors should be offended by this.
Yeah. Yeah,
that they're not thinking of completely showcasing them in some way with, you know, sponsoring some really cool event that's going to go viral or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's right.
It's an affront to everyone, frankly.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought that was not the greatest comment to say, to tone it down. And I'm like, okay.
Well, yeah, no. Well, so anyway, there is going to be a lot of events, and I think, you know, by all accounts, it's going to be a great event regardless, because we all know that Leafs Nation brings it. So the people will be there, yeah, and we're going to make it great no matter what they decide to do.
Exactly.
So now it's time to get our show on the road. And first off, we are going to talk about the Leafs defense and goaltending, and we'll give our thoughts on the Leafs preseason to date. And for a third period, we are going to have a look at some of the questions from a recent Maple Leafs poll that was run by the Toronto Sun and give our thoughts on that. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
Okay, so last week we focused on the forwards that are in camp, and now we're going to have a look at the defense and the goaltending. So starting with the defense pairings to start the season, most likely they're going to be, it's Riley Brody, McCabe, Klingberg, and Giordano and Liljegren. So we talked a little bit about this last show with Mike, our Ladies Talking Leafs insider, and I'm perfectly fine with the Riley Brody combination, and Brody's had it a little bit tough now, I guess, with the passing of his dad and that, so he only got into his first game yesterday versus the Habs. I believe it was yesterday or it was Friday, one of the games, and but he seemed to be his usual steady defensive self in the game and played pretty well, and the Klingberg one now, I guess he's got some upper body injury, apparently. So hopefully he's supposed to have MRI. Hopefully that's not too bad. But I don't know. And then Giordano, he's the oldest guy in the league now. I'm 40 years old.
He's going to turn 40 this week.
Yeah. So. Okay. He has a few days. Mm-hmm. And Liljegren is the third pairing, which is fine. So what, I mean, I don't know, it's not the greatest, let's just say. For the regular season, I think it's going to be okay. What I actually was thinking about it more today, I think it's going to be more of it's team defense, basically, sort of thing. It's mm-hmm. the whole team.
No, and I think Treliving actually said that, too.
Yeah.
Yes. He referred to that. And that's sort of really what we did last year anyways. Yeah. Like, it was, you know, it was basically team defense concept.
Yeah. It's a commitment from the forwards to help out the defense, and and that's how they get through the regular season. And I mean, obviously it's worked the last few seasons, having 100 points plus each year. But like, you look like Marner, for example, he had the NHL's best number for takeaways last season with 104. So that shows the commitment to defense. Matthews was first in block shots, which we knew. And, with 92 for forwards anyways. And so the only thing, I guess, it's going to be a bit tough with Bertuzzi and Domi to start, I think, because they're new to the system. So Domi's not, I know a little bit more of Max Domi. He's not the greatest defensively, let's just say, but we'll see how it goes with him. But you got to give them time, basically, to get into that. And I'm expecting, actually, I was looking for Jake McCabe, because he only joined, seems like he's been with us longer, but he hasn't. And he's only been with us just last season. In February he came, mm-hmm. Just prior to the deadline. And I'm expecting a better season, like to have a full season under his plate, because I think in the playoffs he was okay. He wasn't great. But I just think the whole Toronto market thing too, you need to get used to it, like to be better, I guess. You need to get used to the market and the pressures that come with the market. I think he's going to have a better full season. I think it's going to be really good for him. And I think, that's basically what my thoughts on it. And yeah, I don't, I, don't know. I'm not that comfortable, let's just say, but we'll get through it.
Well, what do you think about the fact that Liljegren has been wearing an A? I mean, obviously he's been wearing an A throughout the training camp.
Yeah.
Because really he's probably one of the more veteran players that have been playing lately, because they really are only wanting to get a good look at the kids right now. But what do you think that says that they're basically
I think they're
giving
hoping,
him a little bit more leadership there?
Yeah, I think they're hoping that, I mean, he has played well in the preseason games that he's been in. And I'm thinking they're hoping that he takes the next step, possibly to get into the second pairing. And he might have to, because with Klingberg being possibly injured for the beginning of the season. But yeah, no, hopefully it gives him, or it should give him, confidence too, right? To say that the team like believes him in that way, to give him that the A during the preseason. And moving to just to Klingberg, I wrote down, because with him, I think with John Klingberg, I'm really hoping that he gets back to what he had in Dallas. And I think that's what everybody wants. But because he played big minutes in Dallas, he played 22 to 24 minutes a night there. And he also, I mean, he wasn't great defensively. We all know that he's an offensive defenseman. But I mean, he had, in his last season with the Stars, which was 2021-22 season, he had 34 points on the power play. And Morgan Rielly only had 17 last year.
I know we've struggled for the past few years with getting any offense from our D, and it's an important thing to have, right? So,
then the next one after that was Rasmus Sandin, who's not even with us anymore.
No, I know. Right, well, and he's in that same kind of mold though as Klingberg, except Klingberg is more experiened. You know, I think that's. Sandin is, they were hoping that he would grow into that, right?
Yeah.
But then in the end, it was an asset that Dubas wanted to move, right? Because there were part times during the playoffs last year that I remember thinking, man, if we only had him, you know?
Yeah.
But they got rid of him. So, So like, hopefully they're going to utilize him well. Yeah. Who do you think, like, obviously we know what our top six is going to be, but who are going to be our maybe seven or eight, you know, waiting in the wings, do you think?
Well, we were thinking all of a sudden Connor Timmins was such a star until he got who hit him from the Habs there in the game on Friday night.
This is really the problem with him, actually, is because every time that he's played for us up to now, since we've gotten him, he has produced. Yeah. He's a really good offensive defenseman. He's a right shot. He's high value in that regard. And I think he's got the potential to be really good, but it same sort of thing. He can't seem to stay healthy. Unfortunately. So, and I heard that might be in like an ACL thing, like it's definitely a knee.
Oh,
so
really?
Hopefully it's not a tear. Okay. So it's a tough break for him, but yeah, he would have been the first choice for being
and
number seven.
The other choice that that I wrote down, actually for another section of our talk is Simon Benoit, I guess, who played last night in the game, but he's been out with back spasm. That's why that was his first game versus the Habs on Saturday night. And, I guess I picked him because he played with the Ducks last season too. He played 78 games. And he had 60 penalty win minutes. So, like, he's a third pairing guy, let's just say. And
he's a big guy.
But he's a big guy. And last night he played 15 minutes or almost 16 minutes and versus the Habs, and he had 6 hits. So he brings that physicality. That's what he's about. Like, even in a couple of articles I read about him, that's what he's bringing, the physicality to the game. He did play. His average ice time with the Ducks was over 19 minutes a night. So he can play longer minutes, but for us, like, that's why he probably might be better suited with our team or have better stats too, because he'll be lower in the pairings and he can be that seventh defenseman, let's just say, assume if there's any, if there's a need for that. So yeah, that was the guide that I was,
I heard at. That he also is kind of really wants to show the ducks what they're missing. Yeah. So he's really kind of really working hard to make this squad. So, cause he just wants to prove something. So there that's never a bad thing to have.
That, there's also that Maxime Lajoie.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's played more games because he's been healthy. Mm-hmm. And, but to me, he doesn't have enough NHL, like at least Benoit has played in like a full season mm-hmm. with the Ducks, whereas Lajoie has only played a few games here and there with the Canes, with the Hurricanes and the Senators as well. But yeah, so I don't know. We don't have a lot of depth there otherwise, because like they're not mm-hmm. wanting, obviously they don't want to put Topi Niemelä in there.
I don't think he's quite ready yet. I think he needs like a full AHL season, I think, get, because he's a smaller guy. He's going to really have to sort of learn how to play in this type, in these types of systems, this type of ice. I think a year of work in the A will be good for him.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the goaltending. So we obviously know that Samsonov, he's going to be for sure at least a 1A, and he's going to be sharing the net most likely with Joseph Woll. But Martin Jones, he has really shown up and had a really good camp as well. So what do you think is going to happen there?
Yeah, the well, Joseph Woll, unfortunately, got sick. I think there's a flu bug going around, I guess, with the Leafs.
Yeah, gee.
Right, with Nylander.
A flu bug. Yes. That's right.
Yeah, flu bug. So, but yeah, no, Martin Jones, in the meantime, he's played really well. He played in the second game versus the Sens, which was the overtime loss, but he made quite a few really good saves there. And he also played versus the Sabres in the 5-2 win. And then last night in Montreal, he had the 3-1 win, but I don't know. He looks steady in there. I don't know. We need him there. Because I'm pretty sure with the situation in Tampa now, with Vasilevsky having the surgery, the back surgery, like they need a goalie.
And yeah, so really we need him to not play so well.
Because he's still going to get picked up though, because even like, because he's an experienced NHL. Yeah, yeah, regardless, because he played last year and had a decent season with Seattle. I think it was Seattle, right? I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, so he played pretty well there. And I don't even know who Tampa has as a goalie. I mean, I'm not.
I think it's Johansson.
Oh. All
right. Not very good.
Yeah.
Supposedly. Yeah, so they are in need, but yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see, you know, which goalies end up on waivers. But
I don't know, it might be like, I guess, obviously Brandon Pridham is our cap specialist. So it might be the thing where
they'll try to hang on to him as long as possible. Yeah, so like by doing, to force Tampa to pick somebody up and then put him on.
Like to keep him keep it longer that way. Like maybe even by sending, it's not good to say, but let's just say yours, and I have no idea because I'm not a capologist person, but like you send Matthew Nyes down, let's mm-hmm. say, for like down to the Marlies for like a game or two or whatever, just so that you could have that extra time. But then also there is the thing too now with Klingberg and Timmins being injured, they're depending on whether or not they have to go on long-term injury. Mm-hmm. So that the LTIR part of it, that could help.
But there is a maximum that they can use for that, right?
Yes,
so
yeah.
I think we're pretty close to it already. So,
oh yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Again, we're not capologist people or whatever, right? No. Or you're better at, I am thinking of that. So, but yeah, I mean, it's like right now it would be Martin Jones, I guess, as a backup to say, because Walls only played the one game versus the Senators, right? He hasn't really.
But the thing is there's, you cannot put Woll on waivers at all because for sure he will get picked up.
Yeah.
So
you can't do that. It's just because he hasn't been feeling well. So you can't, obviously you can't knock the guy for that. So
no.
So yeah. And then Samsonov, I thought he played pretty well in the one game that
he did
versus the Habs on Friday night. He played the two periods And yeah, and Joseph Wall was supposed to play last night. The other, that Petrozelli, he's played pretty well too as a in the, although he'll probably be with the Marlies and this season, but he's played pretty well. Yeah, but most likely I think it's going to be Joseph Wall as the backup. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think the same?
Yeah. I don't really see any, any difference really there.
Yeah.
And it makes the most sense with the cap and, you know, with the situation. So I think Martin Jones, he's there for an insurance. And like you said, Pridham and Treliving are going to have to figure out how to work it so that we get to keep them somehow, you know, within the organization because yeah, we tend to not have very good luck that way. So,
all right. So I thought of this question and I think I stumped myself with the question because I can't even think of it. But I said, other than Matthew Nyes, Fraser Minton and Easton Cowan, who has impressed you in this camp? It doesn't have to be prospects or anything like that, like Leafs prospects.
Well,
who
for me,
you pick?
Yeah. For me, I actually, we've already talked about the two people that have really stood out to me and like, and that's Timmins.
Yeah.
Number one has been a standout.
Yeah.
And he always impresses me. Like anytime he's played for us, I actually think that he is really good. He's smart. He's fast. He does really good things with the puck and he adds to our offense. And that's a really good thing. So it's super, super disappointing. And I'm so sad for him that he got hurt.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's not going to be anything serious. And, you know, he's still a pretty young guy. He's only 25. Yeah. So I'm just hopeful that, you know, eventually I think he is part of the future of our defensive core.
Yeah.
I do think so because he's making strides. He's improving. Yeah. Yeah. And then the other person is Martin Jones. Like he's played really, really well and kind of surprised me in that way and kind of makes it difficult. But I guess these are things are, you know, it's not bad to have these problems where you have competition for very few spots. So,
yeah. I like, actually, I don't know if you saw the goalie mask for Samsonov as well as for Martin Jones. I like Martin Jones. He has like all the Leafs on the back of his mask. I thought that was kind of cool. And I like obviously the Samsonov has the Cujo style mask or thing. So that was kind of cool. I actually picked, even though we only picked one game, because like I said, I stumped myself. Was that who we already talked about? Was that Simon Benoit? I liked his game last night. Because, and I was thinking of the fact like Timmins, yes, but he's injured and none of the other guys. I mean, Tavares had a pretty good game considering on Wednesday night in the Kraft Hockeyville game versus the Sabres. But, none of these guys, like the Max Domi, he hasn't, again, they've only played like a game or two. Mm-hmm. So you can't really get a feel for that. And, but yeah, I actually picked the Benoit guy, even though he's only played one game. And I wish that he had the back spasms, I guess, was his issue that he didn't play more. And then there was also that William Lagesson.
Oh yeah. He's actually been pretty good. Like I've noticed him.
Yeah. On defense. Like he's had more of the opportunity, I think, because Benoit has been hurt. And then because, Timmins got hurt. He's had a bit more opportunity in a couple of games. So, and he played pretty well as well. So yeah, that's who I've noticed, in this camp so far. So there's only three games, left. So you would think that, like obviously the big guys, like they need Matthews, Marner, like, and Bertuzzi, Domi, they need to get on the ice basically and get the timing and chemistry going because we only have like 11 days to to the opening night. So they gotta
right.
get ready. Yep.
So yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I mean, like we said, it shows that there aren't that many roster spots because have we seen any of the big guns play? Hardly.
No.
Like they haven't played. Reason being is They know what they're getting from them. Mm-hmm. And I also think that it's important for Treliving to see these guys, because none of these guys that are playing right now are his picks. Yeah. So he needs to get a feel for what these guys have to offer. And to me, the future is looking pretty bright right now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So
yeah, it's
yeah. I'm surprised. I've never been this excited about prospects. Like, I not for a long time. So
yeah, the guys that I mentioned are the three guys that have brought the excitement. Yes. Basically, Matthew Nye, yes. Frazier Minton, and Easton.
They have brought it.
Yeah, Frazier
Minton. It's like when they're showing Minton and Nye on the bench. Yeah. Yeah. It was like shades of Austin and Marner rookie season. Years you know, back. Like
yeah.
So yeah. So I think that's. It's pretty cool that there's going to be, I mean, and I have to give credit to Dubas, because this is now where we are starting to see his picks kind of, you know, coming along.
Yeah.
So, you know, he did a good job picking these guys.
For that, yeah.
And I guess Wes Clark is his right hand man for this kind of stuff. So anyway, now let's get to our third period segment, and we are going to review and give our thoughts on a few questions from a recent Maple Leafs poll that was run by the Toronto Sun. So I think we each picked a couple of questions, and you can kick it off there, Chris. Which pick questions did you key in on?
Yeah, so I like these polls because I like to compare to see what my thoughts are, if they're in line with the rest of what Leafs Nation is thinking. So see if I'm remotely close, I guess, to what most Leaf fans think. So the first question I thought was interesting out of all of them was, when the Leafs were eliminated, what did you think had the best chance of happening in the offseason? So the choices were, one of the core gets traded, the Kyle Dubas firing, Sheldon Keefe gets fired, Brendan Shanahan gets fired, or nothing, that they stand pat. So for me, I picked the actual one of the core gets traded. That's what I thought was going to happen.
And I picked Sheldon Keefe getting fired.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that ended up being the highest percentage was that one about the in the poll.
Yeah.
It ended up being Sheldon Keefe. I don't know. That didn't surprise me, because everybody was talking about that. And I still think Sheldon Keefe, even though he signed a new an extension, I still think he's on a kind of a short leash, I guess, right? Like, depending, especially last year, like, the Leafs started off slow too, like in the beginning
last of two
the
season, seasons
or last two seasons. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I mean, if they start off slow again in this season, then like, depending on how it goes, obviously he might be still on the a little bit of a on the edge of his seat, let's just say, when it comes to possibly getting, I don't think it's going to happen, but there's a possibility there. So, I thought whichever member of the core would get traded. I just thought that was
Actually that was the one that had the most votes.
Yeah.
One of the core pieces getting traded.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Yeah. 40%. Sheldon Keefe getting fired was 19%. So that was second. The thing is, though, because of the cap situation with the core four and all of that, there's always so many new players coming into camp, much more so than probably a lot of other teams that are this much under the microscope. So I think it's hard to get a really strong, quick start out of the gate when you have so many new people that you have to integrate.
And that's been every season, basically. Yeah. We always have so much turnaround, basically, with all different players.
Yeah. So, but that being said, it's a new general manager. He did give him his vote of confidence. But so far, I've liked what I've seen with Keefe and his demeanor. So I actually think he's going to have a good year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, goes back again to what you were saying in our previous shows too, that the fact that Kyle Dubas is no longer here, that it's going to give him maybe a little bit more of a different perspective on things, on how he coaches the team to let him do that. basically. All right. So the second question that I had was, which player's departure during the offseason will have the greatest impact on the Leafs? Luke Shen was the winner of this. Anyway, let me give you the choices here. I should do that. It's Michael Bunting is the first choice, Alex Kerfoot, Justin Hall, which I don't even know why he was mentioned, but as a choice there, Ryan O'Reilly or Luke Shen. And I guess the overwhelming, it was 51%.
Yes. So, he basically got half the votes.
Yeah. And then next up was Ryan O'Reilly. But mm-hmm. I thought to myself, you know, I picked Michael Bunting because
I knew you would.
Yes. But I just thought these two other guys were only with the team from March. I mean, it's not like they were there the whole year. Like, I understand.
That's true.
Right? Like, that's how I looked at it. I looked mm-hmm. at it as the whole season being there.
I actually did pick Luke Shen. Yeah. And the reason being is that he brought an element to our defense, yes. which we've been talking about, yeah. that we did not have. And surprisingly, he made it better even offensively. You know, that was not an expected thing, but he allowed Riley to really play his game. And yeah. I think people wanted to see, myself included, how that would translate over, you know, a full 82 game season in going into the playoffs again.
That's the thing. You want to see how it translated. And they both, O'Reilly and Shen, decided to go elsewhere. So,
I think Shen would have stayed if all things being equal, if you would have got the same money, same term here.
Yeah. But you're not going to give him
O'Reilly different situation.
Yeah. We couldn't afford that. So,
yeah, no. All right. So, So the questions that I picked that I thought were interesting are, what did you think of the decision to not only keep Keefe, but to sign him to a 2-year extension? So the answers were, it was the right way to go. His best coaching days are ahead of him. It's fine to retain him, but there should not have been an extension, or he should have been fired after the loss to Florida.
And what did you go with?
I actually said that it was the right way to go. His best coaching days were ahead of him. What I was surprised at is that was the top choice in the poll. That's what most people feel, which I was kind of shocked at. I didn't really think that most of Leafs Nation would want to give him the benefit of the doubt that way.
Yeah.
But I guess people feel that, like me, you know, with a new voice, a new partner in Treliving, that maybe it's going to bring out the best in him. So what do you think?
I actually picked number two. I thought that mm-hmm. they should have had it as the lame duck coach. Sorry.
you're such a pessimist.
I know.
With this kind of stuff.
Fine to retain him, but there should not have been an you need to wait a little bit. I don't know. I just thought that it was just the way the team, like you would have thought after beating Tampa, finally getting past the first round, like, to me, there shouldn't have been that much of a drop off to the next round, like with the mm-hmm. with the core players. There should have been something that the coach should have got out of them to at least make it a series, like not to go down in five, just to win one game and just to, like, you would have thought that they would those core players would have had the bite basically to. Mm-hmm. to get through and to win at least two games in that series, right? So I don't know. That's why it was just based on the playoffs and that response that those players had for him. But yeah, so I mean I would have kept him on. I don't think he should have been fired outright. Mm-hmm. And then things it's kind of weird because things just changed totally because of the Dubas getting let go. Mm-hmm. So that question, it kind of, it's kind of a different kind of, or an odd kind of question, the fact that the GM left and, but yeah, so I don't know. We'll see what happens this season. Like now that it's his team and he has new players and he doesn't have Kyle Dubas that he's been working with for so many years. Like, we'll see what he has. And there's two new assistants with him too. Mm-hmm. Mike Van Ryn and I don't know how to pronounce. I think it's Mike Van Ryn or Mike Van Ryan.
I think it's Ben. It's Van Ryn.
Van Ryn, all right, mm-hmm. and Guy Boucher. Obviously, mm-hmm. we'll see how that that dynamic works in the coaching staff. Mm-hmm.
All right, and my second question is, which of the following returning players do you think will have the biggest impact? And this is interesting because these players are a little bit more fringe, but may be expected to make a little bit of a jump or develop a little bit more. So number one on the list was Joseph Wall, number two, Pontus Holmberg, number three, Nick Robertson, and number four, Connor Timmins. So out of these guys, what did you pick?
Well, I picked Joseph Wall.
And that was actually an overwhelming majority picked him as the person with the biggest impact, including myself. So, I think, you know, we're hopeful that these other three guys are going to start contributing more, mm-hmm. Especially Nick Robertson.
Yeah.
I really feel for the guy. And I think everybody was elated yesterday when he sniped that goal. Yeah. It was actually a beautiful goal, a nice dish to him, mind you.
Yeah. But I actually think too, because the thing that bugs me in this training camp actually is like Kelly Youngkrook has been injured or missing mm-hmm. in action somehow. I don't know. Some people are saying he's even, I think he's injured, but some people are, there's some trade rumors out there too.
Yeah.
For that. But
no, I mean, heard he's hurt.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. But they're just keeping it quiet to say just the usual thing that the Leafs do. Most NHL teams do. They don't give a lot of information on injuries. But it kind of bugs me, though, the fact that, let's just say, like these young kids like Nick Robertson or Alex Steeves, like they have decent camps. And this guy hasn't played, Yarncroak hasn't played one game. But then he's immediately going to, get into the
lineup.
Right?
I mean,
just because he's the veteran, right? And
no one should lose their spot because of injury.
Not to lose it, but to actually give the opportunity. I mean, maybe he'll still hopefully not, but maybe Yarncroak will be won't be available for opening night. Who knows? And maybe like Robertson.
Well, maybe not quite yet because I mean, he did practice with the team on Saturday, I guess.
Right.
But I mean, remember last season, Engvall was hurt at the start mm-hmm. during training camp.
Oh yeah,
it took him a little while till he came back into the lineup. So it may be the same thing with Yarncroak, you know, needing more, a little bit more conditioning and stuff like that. So
okay.
It might give some of these other guys a little bit more extended time.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So Leafs Nation, if you're interested, you can find the complete results for the Suns poll through a link in our show notes. Lots of different questions in there, which were interesting. And before we go, we do want to give a shout out to, we've had quite a few new followers on our social media. So on Facebook page, we want to welcome Michelle Jerome and Jackson Leonard. And on X, formerly Twitter, we want to welcome Maple Leafs Wave and Salika Guy. That was an interesting one, I thought. The Toyota Salika. I remember that car. And on Instagram, welcome to Read Leafs. So thank you to all of our social media followers. And a reminder, we would love to hear from you throughout this upcoming NHL season. Leave us a comment in our social media posts. Give us your thoughts on anything to do with the Leafs, anything to do with the games and what's going on with the team.
And also a reminder to hit that follow button wherever you listen to our show, Apple, Spotify, or your favorite app. You can also find us on the Believe Network at believe.com or on our website, ladiestalkingleafs.com. It's also going to be our first full season on YouTube this year, so you can subscribe to our channel and watch our show there. And we also post in-game action videos from games that we attend at Scotiabank Arena as well. So our YouTube handle, just like our social media, is at LTL1917.
Yeah, and we'll have lots of video from opening night in 11 nights.
For sure.
And don't forget, we'll be sharing some big news on our next episode, October 18th. So be sure to follow our show and follow us on social media. X. I don't like X.
I think on the last show I said X something and it sounded like I was saying our X fan, like somebody who is like no longer a fan. And like, oh my God, it's the worst title, worst name. Anyway. Yeah.
But anyways, follow us on X, Instagram and Facebook. Our handle is at LTL1917 and also on Threads. Got to remember Threads. Who knows? You never know. It might come back pick in the up game again. Here. Yeah. So we would love to hear your thoughts on the show. Leave us a rating or a review on Apple or Spotify. It's easy and it's important for us to get more exposure as a source for Leafs content. So it's a simple click of the star rating, 5-star. and yeah, if you can, or just leave us a comment and we thank you for taking the time.
Another way to help us out is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. You can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
And as always, we want to say thank you to our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do.
Thanks as always for listening and watching. And until next time, go Leafs, go! Do you believe?